Hello, my name is Captain Catherine Chu, Acting Director of the Division of Drug Information within the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. I would like to welcome you to the Global Alliance of Drug Information Specialists webinar series 2015, Novel Drugs Approved in 2014. The objectives for today's program are to, number one, explain the methods used by FDA to expedite approval of novel drugs, and two, discuss the indications, identify the appropriate patient populations, and discuss the contraindications, warnings, and precautions for the novel drugs approved by FDA in 2014. I would like to introduce our speaker today from FDA's Division of Drug Information, Holly Tierno. Holly Tierno graduated with her PharmD from Arnold and Marie Schwartz College of Pharmacy in 2005. She has been with the FDA for 1 year. Prior to joining the Division of Drug Information, Holly was an associate director with Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals for 7 years. Holly also completed an ASHP drug information residency at Med Assets Supply Chain Solutions. Holly?
Thank you, Kat. The introduction of new drugs into the marketplace is one of the most important topics for us as pharmacists. It is equally important to understand the warnings and correct patient populations for these drugs. Innovation drives progress. Each year, the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, CDER for short, approves a wide range of new drugs and biologic products. Some of these products are innovative new products that never before have been used in clinical practice. Others are the same as or related to previously approved products, and they will compete with these products in the marketplace. Each year since 2011, we have developed a novel new drugs report to highlight the new products. Many of these products offer new hope for patients suffering from the conditions these products are intended to treat. In 2014, the Center for Drugs Evaluation and Research approved 41 novel new drugs approved as new molecular entities, NMEs, under new drug applications, NDAs, or as new therapeutic biologics under biologic license applications, BLAs. The top numbers of this chart show the new molecular entity, new biological approvals, and the bars underneath show the new filings. Looking at this chart, we can see that from 2005 through 2013, CDER has averaged 25 novel new drug approvals per year. As I mentioned, in 2014, CDER approved 41 novel new drugs. CDER used a number of regulatory methods to expedite the approval of novel new drugs in 2014. These involved the following four expedited development and review pathways: fast track, breakthrough, priority review, and accelerated approval. 17, or 41%, of the 2014 novel new drugs were designated by CDER as fast track, meaning drugs with the potential to address unmet medical needs. Fast track speeds new drug development and review, for instance, by increasing the level of communication FDA allocates to drug developers and by enabling CDER to review portions of a drug application ahead of the submission of the complete application. CDER designated 9 of the 2014 novel new drugs, 22%, as breakthrough therapies, meaning drugs with preliminary clinical evidence demonstrating that the drug may result in substantial improvement on at least one clinically significant endpoint over other available therapies. For purposes of breakthrough therapy designation, clinically significant endpoint generally refers to an endpoint that measures an effect on irreversible morbidity or mortality or on symptoms that represent serious consequences of the disease. A breakthrough therapy designation includes all of the fast-track program features, as well as more intensive FDA guidance on an efficient drug development program. Breakthrough status is designed to help shorten the development time of a promising new therapy. 25 of the 2014 novel new drugs, 61%, were designated priority review, in which CDER determined the drug to potentially provide a significant advance in medical care and set the target to review the drug within 6 months instead of the standard 10 months. CDER approved 8 of the 2014 novel new drugs, or 20% under FDA's accelerated approval program, which allows early approval of a drug for a serious or life-threatening illness that offers a benefit over current treatment. This approval is based on a surrogate endpoint, for example, a laboratory measure or other clinical measure that we consider reasonably likely to predict the clinical benefit of the drug. This speeds the availability of the drug to patients who need it. Once accelerated approval is granted, the drug must undergo additional testing to confirm that benefit. In many cases, more than one expedited development and review tool was used to speed drug approval. More than half of the 2014 novel new drugs, 66%, were designated in one or more of these four categories. Each of these designations helps expedite the speed of the development and/or approval process and is designed to help bring important medications to the market as quickly as possible. First-in-class and rare diseases is another important aspect when looking at the potential positive public health impact and unique contributions of these drugs. Many of the 41 novel new drugs CDER approved in 2014 are notable for their potential positive impact and unique contributions to quality medical care and public health. CDER identified more than one-third of the novel new drugs approved in 2014, about 41%, as first-in-class, one indicator of the innovative nature of a drug. For example, these drugs might use new or unique mechanisms of action for treating medical conditions than existing therapies. These are five drugs that may potentially have a strong clinical impact. I will review five of these noteworthy first-in-class products: Belsomra, Harvoni, Bacirapac, Keytruda, and Zotivity in more detail. Belsomra is an orexin receptor antagonist approved to treat difficulty in falling and staying asleep. It is contraindicated in narcolepsy. Exposure to Belsomra is increased in obese compared to non-obese patients and in women compared to men. Particularly in obese women, the increased risk of exposure-related adverse effects should be considered before increasing the dose. Belsomra can cause daytime somnolence, including risk of impaired alertness and motor coordination, including impaired driving. This risk increases with dose. Caution patients taking 20 milligrams against next-day driving and other activities requiring complete mental alertness. The risk of next-day impairment is increased if Belsomra is taken with less than a full night of sleep remaining, if a higher dose is taken, if co-administered with other CNS depressants like benzodiazepines, opioids, tricyclic antidepressants, or any other drugs that increase blood levels of Belsomra. Sleep disturbances may be manifestations of other physical or psychiatric disorders, and failure of insomnia to remit, worsen, or emergence of new cognitive or behavioral abnormalities after 7 to 10 days of treatment may indicate the presence of a primary illness that should be evaluated. Nighttime sleep driving and other behaviors like eating or making phone calls with amnesia of the event have been reported with the use of hypnotics like Belsomra. A dose-dependent increase in suicidal ideation was observed in patients taking Belsomra during clinical studies. So counseling, taking the patient's history, and dispensing the least number of pills is advisable. Belsomra has not been studied in sleep apnea or COPD patients. Thus, the drug should be used with caution in patients with compromised respiratory function. Patients should be counseled regarding sleep paralysis, cataplexy, and hallucinations that can occur with the drug. The hallucinations may be while falling asleep or while transitioning to wakefulness. Hallucinations can be visual, auditory, or other sensory events. Harvoni is a two-drug fixed-dose combination product that contains 90 milligrams of lodipizir and 400 milligrams of cefovir in a single tablet. Harvoni is approved to treat chronic Hep C genotype 1 infection in adults. Concomitant use of Harvoni and PGB inducers, for example, rifampin or St. John's wort, is not recommended, as it may significantly decrease both lodipizir and cefovir plasma concentrations and may lead to a reduced therapeutic effect of Harvoni. The table provides the recommended Harvoni treatment durations for treatment-naive and treatment-experienced patients and those with and without cirrhosis. It is important to also note that Harvoni for 8 weeks can be considered in treatment-naive patients without cirrhosis who have pretreatment HCV RNA less than 6 million international units per ml. Treatment-experienced patients are those who are defined as failing treatment with either pig interferon alpha plus ribavirin or an HCV protease inhibitor, pig interferon alpha plus ribavirin. Thus, the duration of treatment in these patient populations will vary from 8 to 24 weeks. Keep this in mind when filling refills and checking their previous disease and medication history. Viatira pack is 4 drugs in 1. Dasibuvir sodium, omisbuvir, persipivir, and ritonavir. It is approved to treat genotype 1 chronic hepatitis C, including those with compensated cirrhosis. Viatira pack is contraindicated in patients with decompensated liver disease or severe hepatic impairment. In the prescribing information, there's a table of drugs that are contraindicated due to the high dependence of CYP3A clearance. Drugs that are strong inducers of CYP3A and CYP2C8 may lead to decreased efficacy of Viatira pack, and strong inhibitors of CYP2C8 may increase dasibuvir concentrations and increase the risk of QT prolongation. It is also contraindicated in patients that are hypersensitive to ritonavir or have any contraindications to ribavirin. During clinical trials with Viatira pack, with or without ribavirin, elevations of ALT to greater than 5 times the upper limit of normal occurred in approximately 1% of all subjects. These elevations were typically asymptomatic, occurring within the first 4 weeks of treatment and declining within 2 to 8 weeks of onset. These elevations were significantly more frequent in females who were using ethinyl estradiol medications. Thus, these medications must be discontinued prior to starting therapy and can be restarted approximately 2 weeks following completion of treatment. Hepatic testing is recommended during the first 4 weeks of starting treatment and if clinically indicated thereafter. Other warnings and precautions include, of course, any warnings with ribavirin treatment, risk of reduced effect due to drug interactions, and a risk of HIV protease inhibitor drug resistance. If a co-infected patient is not on an antiretroviral drug regimen due to the ability of ritonavir to select for HIV-1 protease substitutions. As you can see in the table here, the treatment regimen and duration varies by genotype and cirrhosis. Ribavirin is given in all of the patient populations except patients with genotype 1B without cirrhosis. Treatment is typically 12 weeks in duration, but maybe 24 weeks in patients with genotype 1A with cirrhosis. A difference here, though, is that the treatment is the same, whether treatment experienced or treatment naive. Keytruda is approved for patients with unresectable or metastatic melanoma and disease progression following ipilimumab and if BRAF V600 mutation positive, a BRAF inhibitor. This drug was approved on a surrogate endpoint. We will now do a question and answer. Based on this information, Would this be considered fast track, accelerated approval, priority review, or breakthrough? The poll is now open. It looks like most people have voted. And yes, you are correct. The answer is B. The indication is approved under accelerated approval based on a surrogate endpoint of tumor response rate and durability of response. An improvement in survival or disease-related symptoms has not yet been established. Continued approval for this indication may be contingent upon verification and description of clinical benefit in the confirmatory trials. If you wanted to find what those trials would be, you can go to drugs at FDA and look at the approval letter. We can go there right now.
Get off my screen.
So we will go ahead and type in Keytruda, and we will hit submit. And then we will go to approval history, letters, reviews, and related documents here. And then here we're going to look at the letter. This is the approval letter for Keytruda. And if we scroll down, so looking at from the top here, if we scroll down in the letter, you will find the requirements for the accelerated approval, as well as a time frame of when this is expected to be completed. Now, going back to the other choices in the poll, if you chose C or D, you would have also been correct, if this drug was also approved under priority review, which has a set target to review within 6 months, and breakthrough was also correct, which provides intensive FDA guidance on an efficient drug development program to help shorten the development time for drugs that are intended to treat a serious condition. Be aware that for Keytruda, there are a number of immune-mediated adverse reactions that, depending on the severity of the reaction, may precipitate administering steroids, withholding a dose, or permanently discontinuing therapy. The main ones are listed here on the slide. For suspected immune-mediated adverse reactions, ensure adequate evaluation to confirm etiology or exclude other causes. Based on its mechanism of action, Keytruda may cause fetal harm when administered to a pregnant woman. Advise females of reproductive potential to use highly effective contraception during treatment with Keytruda and for 4 months after the last dose of Keytruda. Zontivity is a protease-activated receptor 1 antagonist approved to reduce thrombotic cardiovascular events in patients with a history of myocardial infarction or with peripheral arterial disease. It has been shown to reduce the rate of a combined endpoint of cardiovascular death, MI, stroke, and urgent coronary revascularization. Zontivity is contraindicated in patients with a history of stroke, TIA, or ICH because of an increased risk of ICH in this population. Zontivity can also increase the risk of bleeding, including ICH and fatal bleeding. Avoid use with strong CYP3A inhibitors or inducers, as they will decrease Zontivity exposure. Zontivity has been studied only as an addition to aspirin and or clopidogrel, and thus is not recommended to be used alone. It is important to note that significant inhibition of platelet aggregation remains 4 weeks after discontinuation, and there is no known treatment to reverse the antiplatelet effects of Zontivity. Those five drugs were noteworthy examples of first-in-class. About 43% of the novel new drugs approved in 2014, 17 of 41, were approved to treat rare or orphan diseases that affect 200,000 or fewer Americans. This is significant because patients with rare diseases often have few or no drugs available to treat their conditions. I will review these noteworthy examples listed below. Starting with Vimizim. Vimizim was approved to treat mucopolysaccharidosis type IVA, a rare genetic disorder resulting in skeletal deformities, growth retardation, and heart problems. The boxed warning for Vimizim warns about the risk of anaphylaxis. Life-threatening anaphylactic reactions have occurred in some patients during Vimizim infusions, regardless of duration of the course of treatment. Closely observe patients during and after all Vimizim administration and be prepared to manage the anaphylaxis. Inform patients of the signs and symptoms of anaphylaxis and have them seek immediate medical care should any symptoms occur. Because of the anaphylaxis, patients with acute respiratory illness may be at risk of serious acute exacerbation of their respiratory compromise due to hypersensitivity reactions and require additional monitoring. Careful consideration should be given to the patient's clinical status prior to administration of Vimizim and consider delaying the Vimizim infusion. Spinal or cervical cord compression, SCC, is a known and serious complication of MPS-IVA and may occur as part of the natural history of the disease. In clinical trials, SCC was observed both in patients receiving Vimizim and patients receiving placebo, and thus patients should be monitored for signs and symptoms of SCC, including back pain, paralysis of limbs below the level of compression, and urinary and fecal incontinence. Impavido is an anti-Leishmanial drug indicated in adults and adolescents greater or equal to 12 years of age weighing greater than or equal to 66 pounds for treatment of visceral, cutaneous, and mucosal leishmaniasis. Leishmaniasis is transmitted by bites of infected sandflies. It is important to note that Leishmania species evaluated in clinical trials were based on epidemiologic data, and there may be geographic variation in the response of the same species to Impavido. Impavido approval was based on studies conducted in India, Colombia, and Guatemala. The effect of Impavido in the treatment of other species that I have not mentioned has not been evaluated. Impavido has a boxed warning for use in pregnancy because it may cause fetal harm. Fetal death and teratogenicity, as well as impaired fertility, occurred in animals administered Impavido at doses lower than the recommended human dose. So doses lower than the recommended human dose, in animals they found fetal death and teratogenicity. Obtain a serum or urine pregnancy test in females of reproductive potential prior to prescribing Impavido. Advise females of reproductive potential to use effective contraception during therapy and for 5 months after therapy discontinuation. Impavido is also contraindicated in Sjögren-Larsen syndrome because patients aren't able to metabolize Impavido correctly. There are a number of warnings and precautions with Impavido. Elevations of serum creatinine, ALT, AST, and bilirubin were noted during clinical trials, so kidney and liver function should be monitored throughout therapy. Because vomiting and diarrhea often occur during Impavido therapy, dehydration is an ongoing concern. Patients should be counseled regarding fluid intake. Platelet count should be monitored due to the concern of thrombocytopenia, which occurred during clinical trials. As I mentioned, vomiting and diarrhea are of concern, so oral contraceptives may not be adequate protection against pregnancy. Stevens-Johnson syndrome has been reported during therapy. Discontinue if an exfoliative or bolus wash is observed. Sylvant is an interleukin-6 antagonist approved to treat multicentric Castleman's disease. Patients with MCD have an abnormal overgrowth of lymph cells that is similar in many ways to lymphomas. People with MCD often have problems such as serious infections, fevers, weight loss, fatigue, night sweats, and nerve damage that cause weakness and numbness. Blood tests often show too few red blood cells and high levels of antibodies in the blood. An important limitation of use is that Sovant was not studied in patients with MCD who are HIV positive or HHV-8 positive because Sovant did not bind to virally produced IL-6 in a non-clinical study. Now, this is important because Sovant, because multicentric Castleman's disease is often found in HIV patients. Do not administer Sovant to patients with severe infections until the infection resolves. Hematology laboratory tests must be performed prior to each dose of Sovant therapy for the first 12 months and every 3 dosing cycles thereafter. That's prior to each dose of Sovant therapy for the first 12 months and every 3 dosing cycles thereafter. If treatment criteria are not met, consider delaying treatment with Sovant, but do not reduce dose. Do not administer live vaccines because IL-6 inhibition may interfere with a normal immune response to new antigens. You should administer Sovant in a setting that provides resuscitation equipment, medication, and personnel trained to provide resuscitation due to infusion-related reactions. Do not reinstitute treatment in patients with severe infusion-related reactions, anaphylaxis, severe allergic reactions, or cytokine release syndromes. Use with caution in patients who may be at an increased risk of gastrointestinal perforation. Gastrointestinal perforation is basically a hole that develops through the wall of the esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large bowel, rectum, or gallbladder. Gastrointestinal perforation has been reported in clinical trials with Sovant, although not in MCD trials. Promptly evaluate patients presenting with symptoms that may be associated or suggestive of GI perforation. Zodelgat is indicated for the long-term treatment of adult patients with Gaucher disease type 1 who are CYP2D6 extensive metabolizers, intermediate metabolizers, or poor metabolizers, as detected by an FDA-cleared test. Gaucher's disease is a rare genetic disorder resulting in enlargement of the liver and spleen, a low number of red blood cells, easy bruising caused by a decrease in blood platelets, lung disease, and bone problems. Contraindications are in regards to important drug interactions. In addition, CYP2D6 ultra-rapid metabolizers may not achieve adequate concentrations of Zodelga to achieve a therapeutic effect. A specific dosage cannot be recommended for CYP2D6 indeterminate metabolizers. Zodelga is not recommended in patients with pre-existing cardiac disease, long QT syndrome, and concomitant use of class 1A and class 3 antiarrhythmics due to the potential for ECG changes and cardiac arrhythmias. Dosing will be impacted based on the type of metabolizer the patient is, as well as other drugs the patient is taking. These next two drugs, Esbriet and Ofev, are both indicated for the treatment of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF. They have different mechanisms of action. IPF results in decreased lung function and breathing failure. Dosage is titrated over 3 weeks to help minimize adverse effects. You should consider temporary dosage reduction, treatment interruption, or discontinuation for management of adverse reactions. Prior to treatment, conduct liver function tests as elevated liver enzymes, ALT, AST, and bilirubin have occurred with both therapies. Gastrointestinal disorders such as nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, dyspepsia, GERD, and abdominal pain have occurred with both therapies, temporary dosage reductions or discontinuations may be required. Photosensitivity and rash have been noted with Esbriet. Tell patients to avoid exposure to sunlight and sun lamps and wear sunscreen and protective clothing daily. Temporary dosage reductions or discontinuations may also be required. Women of childbearing potential should be advised to avoid becoming pregnant while receiving treatment with OFEV and to use adequate contraception during treatment and at least 3 months after the last dose. OFEV was found to be teratogenic to animals. Arterial thromboembolic events have been reported in 2.5% of patients treated with OFEV and 0.8% of placebo-treated patients. Myocardial infarction was the most common adverse reaction under arterial thromboembolic events, occurring in 1.5% of OFEV-treated patients, compared to 0.4% of placebo-treated patients. Use caution when treating patients at higher cardiovascular risk, including known coronary artery disease. Consider treatment interruption in patients who develop signs or symptoms of acute myocardial ischemia. Based on the mechanism of action of VEGFR inhibition, OFEV may increase the risk of bleeding. In clinical trials, bleeding events were reported in 10% of patients treated with OFEV and in 7% of patients treated with placebo. Use OFEV in patients with known risk of bleeding only if anticipated benefit outweighs the potential risk. Also based on the mechanism of action, OFEV may increase the risk of gastrointestinal perforation. In clinical trials, gastrointestinal perforation was reported in 0.3% of patients treated with OFEV, compared to zero cases in the placebo-treated patients. Use caution when treating patients who have had recent abdominal surgery and discontinue therapy in patients who develop gastrointestinal perforation. Only use OFEV in patients with known risk of gastrointestinal perforation if the anticipated benefit outweighs the potential risk. Time for another poll question. Which two drugs have an adverse event of an increased risk of bleeding? Choose your response in the poll on the screen. It looks like most people have voted. And you are correct. It is D, dontibity for reducing thrombotic cardiovascular events in patients with a history of myocardial infarction, and OFEV for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Make sure a history of patient's disease and risk factors is evaluated, and patients are consulted about the signs and symptoms of bleeding. Myolept is a leptin analog indicated as an adjunct to diet, as replacement therapy to treat the complications of leptin deficiency in patients with congenital or acquired generalized lipodystrophy. The safety and effectiveness of Myolept for the treatment of complications of partial lipodystrophy and for the treatment of liver disease, including non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, have not been established. Myolept is also not indicated for use in patients with HIV-related lipodystrophy or in patients with metabolic disease without concurrent evidence of generalized lipodystrophy. To reiterate, it is approved to treat complications of leptin deficiency in patients with congenital or acquired generalized lipodystrophy. Myolept has a boxed warning. You should test for anti-metroleptin antibodies with neutralizing activity in patients who develop severe infections or show signs suspicious for loss of myolept efficacy during treatment. Anti-metroleptin antibodies with neutralizing activity could inhibit endogenous leptin action and or result in loss of myolept efficacy. These antibodies were identified in two patients with generalized lipodystrophy treated with myolept, resulting in severe infections, increases in HbA1c and triglycerides, and in three patients without lipodystrophy, showing as excessive weight gain, development of glucose intolerance, or diabetes. The consequences, however, are not well characterized, since this has occurred in so few patients. T T-cell lymphoma has been reported in patients with acquired generalized lipodystrophy, both treated and not treated with Myalept. Carefully consider the benefits and risks of treatment with Myalept in patients with significant hematologic abnormalities and or acquired generalized lipodystrophy. Myalept is available only through a restricted program called the Myalept REMS program. Both prescribers and pharmacies must be certified. Closely monitor blood glucose in patients on concomitant insulin or insulin secretagogues, such as sulfonylurea therapy, as hypoglycemia may occur. A dose adjustment, including possible large reductions of insulin or insulin secretagogue, may be necessary. Carefully consider benefits and risks of Myalept treatment in patients with autoimmune disease, as autoimmune disorder progression has been observed in patients treated with Myalept. Hypersensitivity reactions such as urticaria or generalized rash have been reported. Advise patients to promptly seek medical advice regarding suspected reactions. Benzyl alcohol toxicity can occur. Reconstitute with preservative-free sterile water for injection for neonates and infants. Additional drugs that were approved in 2014 include four new antibiotics as qualified infectious disease products. These were the first four, QIDP for short, designated novel new drugs approved by FDA. The Generating Antibiotics Incentives Now Act, which we also call the GAIN Act, provides incentives to help bring new antibiotics and other antimicrobials to market. A drug with particular promise can be designated as a QIDP, Qualified Infectious Disease Product, by authority of the GAIN Act. Additional products included four diabetes products, Entyvio to treat moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, and drugs for ovarian cancer, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and melanoma. 63% of novel new drugs approved in 2014 were approved in the United States before receiving approval in any other country. Our professions require us to always know what medications are new, what they are for, who should receive them, and any safety concerns. As you can see, there were many first-in-class, orphan, and other drugs made a strong impact in 2014, focusing on quality and getting drugs to patients who may have little or no options. You can follow the 2015 new molecular entities and biologic product approvals at this link. As you can see here, there's six listed so far for 2015. You can also find the archived new molecular entity approvals for previous years on the side here. Here are the references which were also included in the GADIS invite.